Hello and welcome back to the adventures of Lola Badiola. In the last chapter, Lola was approached by a mysterious man in a bar. In this chapter, we return to the story of Park as he continues his journey to the west. Here we go.
The Adventures of Lola Badiola, Chapter 49, Touchdown. The wheels of the 777 touched down in Madrid, Barajas, and the agent was finally home. It had been a two-week mission that had almost cost him his life. He promised himself that this would be his last assignment as a freelance operative. He had a wife who adored him and a child on the way. He couldn't afford to put himself in such danger again. Sitting next to him on the plane was the man who he assumed to be Kim Dae-won. This was the package that he was hired to deliver from North Korea to the offices of Interpol in Madrid. The man who had saved him from a painful death. The man who was worth 150,000 euros after expenses. With this final payday, the agent was sure that he could transition into a new career. He could settle down and start his own business. As the aeroplane taxied along the runway to its allotted gate number, the agent recalled the events of the last 5 days. After their confrontation with the Special Operations Forces, he and Park had crossed the Yalu River and travelled through the night to a safe house in China. With the help of local agents, they had cleaned themselves up and changed their clothes. Park was given a false identity, a fake passport, and a cover story. His new name was Moon Dong-woo. He was a South Korean location scout working for a film crew making a documentary about the wildlife that inhabited the volcanic plains of Paektu Mountain. Filming was a chaotic process with large numbers of specialists coming and going all the time. Nobody would question the arrival of another Asian man in the team. Thus, Park Jae-bong was pretending to be Kim Dae-won, who was pretending to be Moon Dong-woo. Even Park admitted to becoming confused. So he took a vow of silence and only answered yes or no to essential questions. Throughout the 5 days of filming, the agent observed the little computer programmer moving amongst the crew with an awestruck expression on his face. Everything he was experiencing, the sights, the sounds and smells, must have been a culture shock. Park was fascinated by the equipment that the team used to shoot their documentary. He wanted to touch the cameras, the sound mixers and the video monitors. He wanted to play with the walkie-talkies and the microphones. He was like a little boy in the toy department of El Corte Inglés. The agent had to follow him everywhere to make sure he didn't disrupt the filming with his silent curiosity. Park was equally intrigued by the food served up in the temporary canteen. Like an army, a film crew marched on its stomach, and the producers of the documentary had spared no expense in this area. They hired a Chinese chef who had been trained at a school of haute cuisine in France so that the kitchen could produce both local and international dishes. Park was overwhelmed by the quantity and diversity of food. Each meal was presented as an all-you-can-eat buffet. He would spend 15 minutes walking up and down the table examining all the items before filling a small bowl with rice and soy sauce. Of all the weird and wonderful things that Park experienced those first few days, it was the Western women in the film crew who really seemed to blow his mind. They were tough and dynamic and at least a head taller than he was. They spoke to the men as equals, in some cases telling them what to do and showing them how to do it. They were confident in both body and mind. On one occasion he tripped over the root of a tree and one of them helped him back to his feet. She smiled kindly at him, and he was dazzled by the perfection of her teeth. During the 5 days of filming, the agent watched his companion very closely. He was worried about the Korean's state of mind, particularly following the events on the banks of the Yalu River. The agent remembered the first time that he himself had killed a man in combat. It was something he was trained to do. It was something for which he was psychologically prepared. But it still took him a long time to process the event. In contrast, his companion was a civilian with no previous experience of life or death situations. It was possible that the Korean was suffering from post-traumatic stress, or on the verge of a nervous breakdown, or haunted by nightmares. However, He showed no signs of fragility, no evidence of mental weakness. Despite his meagre physique, he seemed to have a resilient character. Every evening, the agent spent some private time preparing his companion for the journey back to the West, testing his knowledge of the cover story, making sure he remembered not only his own name, Moon Dong-Wu, but also the names, birth dates, and backstories of his mother, father, and an entire imaginary family back in South Korea. The agent needn't have worried. Park's memory was like a sponge. He had perfect recall of all the information. After 5 days at Peak Two Mountain, the crew dispersed. Some of them went to the next location, 20 kilometres north, and others flew home to commence the post-production work on the raw footage. The agent and his companion joined the latter group. They travelled in convoy to Changchun Airport in the southeast of China. This was the third time the production team had filmed in the area, so they knew which local officials to bribe in order to process the necessary paperwork efficiently. There were no problems at Changchun Airport. They breezed through passport control and onto a China Airlines flight to Hong Kong. From there, they transferred to a 777 aeroplane run by Cathay Pacific for the non-stop journey back to Madrid. They had now almost reached their destination, and as the plane slowly taxied towards the airport finger of the terminal building, the agent made sure that both he and his companion had all their documentation ready. This was the final barrier to delivering his package intact, the last obstacle to collecting his €150,000 bonus. He switched on his mobile phone and sent an encrypted message to his contact at Interpol, James Buck, to inform him that he would be at his office for the drop-off and debrief at 11:30 a.m. that morning, as planned. Then he turned to Park and said, "Welcome to the West, Moon Dong-Wu. Let's go."
So there you go. Park has finally landed in Madrid after his long and dangerous journey from Pyongyang. Over the next few chapters, we'll find out how he adapts to life in the West. But right now, let's do some business English. Let's start with three phrasal verbs. Here's the first one.
The wheels of the 777 touched down in Madrid Barajas, and the agent was finally home.
To touch down is a literal phrasal verb. In this case, it simply means to land, when the wheels of the aircraft touch the runway. It can also be used as a phrasal noun. For example, we might say, touchdown is expected at 9 a.m. And if you enjoy watching American football, you will know that a touchdown is the moment a player crosses the line into the opposition's territory to score 6 points. Okay, here's our second phrasal verb.
He could settle down and start his own business.
To settle down has a couple of different meanings. It generally means to become calm after a period of activity. So, for example, a teacher might tell their noisy class to settle down and start focusing on their schoolwork. To settle down also means to start living in a new place where you intend to stay for a long time, perhaps with your partner, in order to start a family. And that is the case in our story. The agent wants to settle down and start his own business. Okay, here's the third phrasal verb. This is the most advanced. So listen carefully. Here we go.
There were no problems at Changchun Airport. They breezed through passport control and onto a China Airlines flight to Hong Kong.
To breeze through. Well, you know what a breeze is, don't you? It's like a steady, refreshing wind that might pass through the terrace of your summer house. So if you breeze through something, you pass like the wind, without any hesitation or impediment. And that is what happens at the airport. The agent and Park breeze through passport control. Right, let's move from phrasal verbs to vocabulary. Have a listen to this paragraph again.
With this final payday, the agent was sure that he could transition into a new career.
Payday is simply the day of the week or the day of the month that an employee receives their wages or their salary. For example, some companies have their payday on the last day of the month. But it can also be used to mean a large amount of money that somebody wins or earns from a competition or a contest. In this case, the agent believes that this will be his final payday before he transitions into a new career and settles down to have a family. Okay, here's the next interesting item of vocabulary.
Park was given a false identity, a fake passport, and a cover story. His new name was Moon Dong-woo.
A cover story is simply a story somebody tells to conceal the truth. It is an alternative reality. For example, if your teenage daughter arrives home late from school because she's been spending time with the boyfriend that you don't like, her cover story might be that she was at the library studying for an exam. Of course, your hypothetical daughter or real daughter would never do that to you. Okay, here's another related word.
Every evening, the agent spent some private time preparing his companion for the journey back to the West, testing his knowledge of the cover story, making sure he remembered not only his own name, Moon Dong-woo, but also the names, birth dates, and backstories of his mother, father, and an entire imaginary family back in South Korea.
So we know what a cover story is, but what is a backstory? Well, a backstory describes the events in the life of a person before you first see or first read about them in a film or a book. So if you're writing a novel with interesting characters, it's important that each of these characters has a backstory. It's not necessarily something that you would include in the book, but it determines how the characters in your book behave. For example, when George Lucas was writing the script for the first Star Wars movie, he would have created a deep and meaningful backstory for Darth Vader. Only in later films does the audience become aware of this backstory and understand the motivation for him to join the dark side of the Force. Okay, let's move on to some common expressions. Here's the first one.
Thus, Park Jae-bong was pretending to be Kim Dae-won, who was pretending to be Moon Dong-woo. Even Park admitted to becoming confused, so he took a vow of silence and only answered yes or no to essential questions.
A vow of silence means a promise not to say anything. Although it's commonly associated with monks, there are actually no major monastic orders that take a vow of silence. They all have time in their schedule for talking. Recently, the idea of a vow of silence has been embraced by some people as a form of protest or as a way of deepening their spirituality. In this case, Park takes a vow of silence to avoid revealing the truth about his origin. Okay, here's the next common expression.
Throughout the 5 days of filming, the agent observed the little computer programmer moving amongst the crew with an awestruck expression on his face. Everything he was experiencing, the sights, the sounds, and smells, must have been a culture shock.
Culture shock refers to the feelings of surprise, uncertainty, or anxiety that people may experience when moving to a new country or a new job or just a new environment. And it generally moves through four different phases. So here are the four phases of culture shock. Number one, honeymoon. So everything is new, fresh, and exciting. Number two, frustration. Everyday life becomes difficult, filled with misunderstandings. Number three, adjustment. An effort is made to understand and adapt to the new culture in which one finds oneself. And finally, number four, acceptance. A new equilibrium is reached. Have you ever experienced culture shock when you've moved from one country to another or one company to another? Did you move through these four stages? Honeymoon, frustration, adaptation, and then acceptance? I have been living in Spain for almost 10 years now, and I must admit, I still experience all four of these phases at various points during the day. Okay, here's an expression that is attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte. Listen very carefully.
Park was equally intrigued by the food served up in the temporary canteen. Like an army, a film crew marched on its stomach, and the producers of the documentary had spared no expense in this area.
An army marches on its stomach. You have to keep the soldiers well fed in order to keep them moving forwards. And that is the same in all walks of life. It's certainly true of my three teenage daughters. And speaking of French people and food, here is our next expression.
They hired a Chinese chef who had been trained at a school of haute cuisine in France so that the kitchen could produce both local and international dishes.
Haute cuisine is cooking of a very high standard, particularly sophisticated French food. The English language doesn't have a word or expression for sophisticated food. Surprise, surprise. So we borrow the expression from the French. As I've mentioned in previous chapters of this podcast, there are many words that we borrow from the French language in business, in art, and particularly in food. For example, apéritif, sauté, sommelier, and bon appétit, to name but a few. And we English people try to pronounce these words like the French do. We don't always succeed, but at least we try. Here's another expression that I'm sure you're familiar with.
Of all the weird and wonderful things that Park experienced those first few days, it was the Western women in the film crew who really seemed to blow his mind.
If something blows your mind, it means that you are extremely impressed, surprised, or interested in it. We can also create the compound adjective mind-blowing. For example, the conference in Hawaii was a mind-blowing experience. Okay, before we end today's session, I'm going to say a few words about the film industry. Have a listen to this sentence again.
Filming was a chaotic process with large numbers of specialists coming and going all the time. Nobody would question the arrival of another Asian man in the team.
Between my careers in finance and education, I spent a year at film school learning how to make movies. And during this time, I spent 2 wonderful weeks on a small Caribbean island helping the producers of a very popular television show called Death in Paradise. So I know what it's like to be on a large-scale film and television set. And I can tell you, It is organized chaos. On the show Death in Paradise, there were about 100 people on the film crew and about another 100 people who were the actors and the extras. And all these people had to be not only managed and directed, but also housed and fed and transported. It was like a military operation. The actors, the electricians, the sound engineers, they were coming and going all the time. And every one of them was intimately focused on their own specific task. So if you walked onto a film set and you pretended to be part of the production team, nobody would notice you, and certainly nobody would question you. It's very easy to fake it in this organized chaos. And that is exactly what I did during my work experience while I was studying at the film school. And that is exactly what Park Jae-bong does in our book. And with that personal story, we come to the end of this episode. If you would like to improve your business English in a more formal environment, please join Marina and me for our live and interactive sessions with Club Grattan. Just click on the link in the chapter description of your podcast platform. We hope that you can join us for the next episode of The Adventures of Lola Badiola. Until then, keep bringing English into your life. And remember, life can be organized chaos. So why not fake it till you make it?